Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Speakeasy. Today we have a chat with two authors, Molly Cox Bryan, who writes a variety of mysteries that are mostly in what we would call the cozy range, and we'll talk about that, and also Liz Everly, who writes erotic romance and is a member of the blog Lady Smut. So, hello, Molly.
Hi.
And hello, Liz.
Hello there.
Thank you both for coming by today. First, can I have Molly? Can you tell us a little bit about the series that you're writing? The crafty series.
I write a cozy mystery series, which means that there's no graphic sex or violence, and there's usually an amateur sleuth. And my series has a scrapbooking theme. It's the Cumberland Creek Mystery Series. And basically, I tell people, you know, it's a group of women that get together weekly to scrapbook and eat and gossip and drink and solve murders. So that's pretty much what it is, you know. And the scrapbooking always, you know, it's integral to the plot. It's not just a part of the setting. So it... You know, that's usually clues that they're finding through their scrapbooking, or, you know, they're finding out more about the murder victims. You know, it always has something to do with scrapbooking.
So that's the clues come through, they're working on that.
Yeah, sometimes it does.
Or at least
other times,
the inspiration. They put things together.
Yeah, they do. They also put things together. Like in the first book, they found
which is
a person who. Pardon?
What's the name of the first book?
Oh, the first book is Scrapbook of Secrets, and this group of women that get together to scrapbook, they a neighbor is killed, and they find her empty scrapbooks and boxes of photos on the curb, and they decide to pick it up and make scrapbooks for her children.
Mm-hmm.
And, and in doing that, you know, they find out a lot about her, and they find out a lot about her secrets. She has a secret life, and they figure out that she, you know, was murdered. So that's one way. That first book is like that. And then the second book is kind of opposite of that. It's called Scrapped, and they find a scrapbook of somebody that they know, and they learn more about her through the scrapbook. So they're pulling apart the scrapbook, basically, to find out more about this person. So in the first book, they're putting together a scrapbook. And in the second book, they're pulling apart a scrapbook.
But it's interesting how much sort of personal information comes through. Well, anytime you create something, that comes through. But it's not something that you would think of as really betraying personal secrets. But it's funny how it does reflect that.
It does. It does, you know. And, you know, everything from, the scrapbook in the second book that I'm talking about, the woman is a witch, and she's in a small town, and she's very openly a witch. And her friends learn more about that through this scrapbook. You know, there's a lot of personal journaling and things like that, and there's a lot about moon phases and things like that. And, you know, so some people really look at scrapbooking as kind of a spiritual exercise. Other people just do it, you know, to sort of keep track of their family and what's, you know, their family life. And
milestone.
However you choose to do it, it does reveal, you know, a lot about
more than
the
you
person
intend.
Doing it. Yeah, yeah.
And you just announced that you have a new series coming?
I do have a new series coming. the Cumberland Creek series has done pretty well. I have one more book coming out and one e-novella coming out. The last book is Scrapbook of the Dead, and the next e-novella
it's
comes
Halloween
out.
It's Halloween themed, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then the next novella comes out in April, and it's Scrappily Ever After. So we have a bit of a wedding going on there. And, yes, yeah, so we had to sort of decide, you know, my contract was for these five books, and my editor and I had to sort of decide, you know, what comes next. And I'm not, you know, we're not saying that we're discontinuing that series because, you know, I may revisit it again sometime soon. But I just wanted to try something a little different. And the second series is set in North Carolina in the western part where the mountains are. And it is going to be a craft retreat series. Where there are, you know, a certain number of characters there at the craft retreat in a small town, but people visit, you know, for these retreats. And so there will be new people coming in and out all the time. So new characters, new opportunity for murder, for creative murder.
But will there also be, like, a people who stay there and provide a kind of continuity? Okay.
Yeah, the main character is Coralie, and she and her friend Starla have moved there to open up this retreat. And Starla is a potter, and she lives in the carriage house attached to the property. And then there's an older woman named Ruby who came with the property. She'd always been in this gardener's cottage. And they grandfathered her into the sale of the property. And she's an herbalist. So between the three of them, they will always be in the books. And then there will be other people from the town. And the first book features a broom maker, internationally famous broom maker. And the book is going to come out in the fall, so there's going to be fall crafts featured, broom making and candle making and soap making.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So do you think one of the appeals of the cozy genre is this? I mean, most cozies seem to be kind of series. So they have this kind of continuity and you get to know the characters over the course of several books.
Yeah, I think that is one of the appeals to the cozies. And then there's always, you know, there's justice at the end, you know, so there's a good ending. I wouldn't say that they're always
not like
happy endings. Yeah, so, you know, and I think, you know, like with the craft mysteries, I mean, there's this whole subgenre of the craft cozies. I think people, you know, they like to learn a little something about some of these crafts. And so that's always an added hook to the books.
So, I mean, are there examples of like, I don't know, I don't know anything about scrapbooking, really. I mean, other than, I mean, I do it in my journals just because I just stick, like, ticket stubs or different things to sort of record. I was in the hospital, so I put, like, my hospital bracelet in there. So I guess that's kind of like scrapbooking, but is it? Is,
oh, yeah, it is.
There,
and really, if you look at it.
Is there a lot
it, like,
more
you know,
to it?
Yeah, I mean, there could be, for example, you know, scrapbooking always used to just be about paper and photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it grew into this paper and photos and embellishment and fun embellishments and fancy stuff and things like that. Well, now it's sort of grown to be digital. There's all kinds of, like, scrapbooking apps out there and and even, like, you can even, like, expand your thoughts about what scrapbooking really is because some people consider their blogging scrapbooking because,
yeah,
you know,
especially
putting,
if it's personal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it you know, it can take on a variety of forms, really.
But it's another way of sort of keeping track of things you have done and places you have gone, or even things you aspire to. I know people who have sort of aspirational scrapbooks, like here are my dreams, and this is what I want to make real.
Yes.
Which can be a very powerful thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that I always, you know, I used to teach sort of journaling classes, and that is one thing that I always would talk about. That is very powerful. I mean, just writing something, or even, you know, having those, what they call dream boards, where if you just get, you know, like a poster board, and you have pictures of, you know, people doing what you want to be doing, or books that you want to write, or, you know, whatever. I mean, just that
places you
want
to go.
Process of putting it down. Yeah.
It's a very useful thing. Well, it's having something tangible that you focus on too, to say, you know, that's what I'm going to achieve. That's my goal. I think it can often be much more powerful than words. Although I think words are very, very powerful, but it's we're so visual that having that kind of visual feedback and to give us inspiration seems really a great thing to utilize.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So when it's something that you weave into the book series, what kind of ways does it come up that you can sort of give an example of how you use it within the story?
Well, you know, I use it several different ways. I mean, there's a lot of – one of the reasons I wanted to do this is because, of course, I'm a scrapbooker. And, you know, I think of all the hobbies that are out there, scrapbooking is probably the most meaningful. It takes a lot of heat sometimes from people, but – you know, it lends itself, I don't know. I really don't know why. You know, but I think scrapbookers, people think that we're, you know, just like, I don't know, these little old ladies sitting around, you know, talking about our families. And sometimes that's what we are, and there's nothing wrong with that. But modern scrapbooking is just full of all kinds of, you know, different people, different kinds of scrapbooking, and some of the ways that I've used it is, you know, it's a really good way for to show a character's reflections, you know, self-reflections.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also another good way to, for example, I had a historical scrapbook found in one of my books, and I think it was in Death of an Irish Diva. Somebody was getting a swimming pool built in to their backyard, and they happened upon this chest that had a scrapbook in it. And there was a lot about the young woman who owned that scrapbook and wrote in that scrapbook her hopes and her dreams. And, you know, it affected for my modern-day characters to be reading that, it affected them, you know, in a lot of different ways. And so it's just a really, I think it's been a very powerful tool for me as a fiction writer, you know, as it's sort of a lens to look through family life, through history, through spirituality. I mean, you know, it's really seemed to work out that way for me.
Well,
in writing
it's great too, because, well, and in looking at, like, old photographs, you don't have the context for them. It's really hard to sort of understand, well, you know, why did you take this picture now? What does that represent? And how does it fit into, like, the whole family history? And when you see something like a scrapbook where you see the context of it and the other things going on around it, it makes the image even that much more resonant, because you understand so much more about what's going on there.
Right. I mean, I have got scrapbooks of my grandmother's that are just so interesting. of her, you know, dressed up as a man with her friends. You know, they're all dressed up as men, and I'm thinking, what is she doing? You know, I'm sure I have no idea what she was doing. And, you know, there's no journaling, there's nothing, you know. So I tell people that when they are scrapbooking, it's really, it's a good thing, you know, to write down what exactly what was going through your head then, or what were you doing, because it gives, you know, your kids and your grandkids something about you.
And in a much more vivid way, too. It's like a little slice of history. We've lost our live feed for some reason. I'm not sure. I must have, like, maybe forgot to correct the button somewhere, but it's still recording, so let's just carry on.
Okay.
And it'll be fine. It always is. We're still working out the kinks here, which, you know, actually that's probably a good transition to say, let's talk to Liz Everly for a little while.
Okay.
We can change gears a bit. Liz Everly, you're a member of Lady Smut. What does Lady Smut mean?
Well, we like to, we know what we like, and we like to write about what we like. That's what it's about. You know, there's been this sort of belief among some people, I think, that, you know, the people who write and read erotic romance, you know, they're not very smart. Well, we like
to
challenge that. We like to challenge that on Lady Smut. So it's
and
a
you
great
write about
blog.
All kinds of topics, too.
Right. I mean, everything from celebrating bald men, you know, the sexy bald men, to, you know, sexy food, all kinds of, we take a look at all kinds of books. We mostly focus on erotic, you know, erotic books, erotica or erotic romance, but we tend to look at pop culture as well, and we have a lot of fun on the blog.
I have seen that in action, and it's really nice to see the range of interests that come out in something like a blog like that, but also all the different things that the different writers bring to your collection. The Lady Smut Book of Dark Desires.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Well, that is, as you say, it's an anthology, and there are four stories in it. One is my story about a vampire who travels through the computer, and it was a really fun story to write. But it's also very sexy story. And most of the all of the stories have some sex in them. Some of them are more romantic than others. Some of them are more erotic than others. But there's a great story about a goblin in the book, and then there's somebody who wrote about. Madeline Iva wrote about sexsomnia, which is a real malady, I suppose.
Keeping you up at night.
Yes. Yeah. Gives the term, you know, a whole new meaning there. And then there's one that Elizabeth Shore wrote about, an artist, a filmmaker, who gets sucked into this Dionysian sort of ritual. It's really, really interesting, too. Yeah.
In case you've ever wondered, what would sex with a god be like?
That's right. Or a goblin. Hey. So
or
all
two.
The stories have some kind of, mythological or paranormal. I guess the term these days is paranormal creatures. And some of them are kind of scary, and some of them are, funny. They're all very dark. And, you know, it's only four members of our blog that actually this time around submitted to the anthology, but we're hoping that it will grow and that, you know, more of our bloggers will get on board with the anthology. And we're actually, you know, inviting other people to join us from time to time on the blog. So, you know, we're really hoping to grow the blog. It's a great concept, and you know, we're reaching close to 14,000 followers right now. So that's
Wow. That's
not small. Yeah.
Well,
that's
and
good.
The Lady Spot Book of Dark Desires is out from Harper Impulse. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you
and
have a
great
series. What's that?
I was going to say Harper's been really fun and interesting to work with. You know, they do things a little bit differently because I think because they're British, it's a little different than working with some of the American publishers. Yeah, you know, the time.
I don't work with very many American publishers, so I'm kind of not sure. But yeah, it is very different. But they've done some really interesting things online to engage their readers, like the Romance Festival, which was I think pretty well attended.
Yeah,
which was
I mean,
online party.
Yeah,
and ladies
like for 2 days,
that, right?
Yeah. And the first one we were very lively and involved in it, and the second one we did a Facebook party, a paranormal tea party, and that was a lot of fun. It's been really different working with them, and it's been very enjoyable.
And let's see, Lady Smut is ladysmut.com, and Liz
right.
Everly, you have a website too.
Right, lizeverly.com. Yes.
And you're also on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest.
Yes. And what kind of images are you gathering on Pinterest?
I have some sexy vampire images. of course. And I also have some men in kilts. I like those
Ooh.
A lot. Yeah.
I have some friends who are very interested in that. I find it funny that, you know, that I have a boyfriend in Scotland, and I'd never been one of those people who are like, woohoo, men in kilts. And so if I see a man in a kilt, I'm like going, oh, who's getting married? Because that's the only time they come out, you know, other than.
Really? Well, you know, I begged my husband to wear one for our wedding, and he just absolutely would not. Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't do it. So. Anyway, but yes, I'm everywhere online, and I love Pinterest. I mean, I also have some really delicious food photos on my Pinterest page. Yeah, sexy food.
Well, and the other series you have, Eight Lays Around the World, isn't that what it's called? I'm terrible at getting titles wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Talk
that's
a little
right.
Bit about
I
that.
Well, that is about a young journalist who is working at a magazine, and her boss, she has kind of an adventurous appetite, and her boss catches her at a sex club at one night, and he calls her to his office, and she thinks she's going to get fired, and instead he offers her a job to go around the world and write about experiences that she has with food and culture and sex. And he's sort of set up like a game because he leaves her little hints as to which person she's supposed to be experiencing. So I think I have six installments. I have two more left, so I've been releasing them as a serial. Those are independently published on Amazon. I also have, in that same sort of vein, I have book series out with Kensington that is the Saffron Knights series. There's three of them in that. There's Saffron Knights, Cravings, and Like Honey.
And they they'll make you hungry as well as feel really sexy, too, because the food in those is amazing.
Yeah, you know, I just love my food. What can I say? And I like the culture, you know, the culture with the food and the different, like the first book is focused on aphrodisiacs, where we have a journalist going all over the world investigating aphrodisiacs. And so that gets to be very exotic, and I really enjoyed writing that, yeah. And then Cravings is set in Ecuador and St. Lucia on the cacao plantations. And so it's not, you know, it's interesting because the cover of the book has a piece of chocolate cake on it, but there's no chocolate cake in the book.
But it looks nice.
Yeah, I guess it's tempting. Yeah. Yeah, and then Like Honey, I loved writing that too because that was set in Scotland on a honey farm.
And I haven't read that one yet. I have to read that when I get back to Scotland. It'll be the perfect thing.
Oh yeah, I loved researching that book.
I was just going to ask, what kind of interesting things did you learn researching honey?
Oh, well, you know, the plight of the bee is really, you know, it's something that
alarming.
You know, people are going. Yeah, it's very alarming. And you know, I learned that there's a lot of varieties of honey, which, you know, I maybe knew there were two or three, but. You know, it depends on what the bees eat. I mean, there's bees in France, there's bees in Scotland, and, you know, there are bees in Florida that give you that Tupelo honey, which is really quite good. And then there's some honey that's, like, really dark, like even darker than, like, amber, and it's almost like molasses, you know. It's so dark and rich. And so I learned about this different variety of honey, which was, you know, was very interesting. And I'll never look at honey the same again, I can tell you.
Well, especially after reading your book.
Well, you know.
Now, does your husband cook? Does he enjoy food in the same way?
My husband doesn't really cook much. There are some things that he, you know, he must have learned to make somewhere along the way where he will do, you know, he will just, you know, decide he's going to make guacamole and he does it up in a big way or whatever. But yeah, he does enjoy eating. And yeah, so we love a lot of the same kinds of food, like, you know, we love Thai food and Indian food, and it's really hard to get where we live in Central Virginia, so we have to make a little jaunt from time to time to go to Charlottesville or Harrisonburg to actually get some, you know, some good food when we go out to eat. So, but yeah, we both really like it. Yeah.
I should go back to Molly because we also have Mrs. Rowe's Book of Pies. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mrs. Rowe's. It's Mrs. Rowe's. It looks like it's pronounced Rowe's,
okay.
But it really is Rowe's. It's just one of those local things. And yeah, the Book of Pies, and then there was a previous cookbook for that restaurant. That I wrote a while back. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to write that. It was a lot of work too. Recipe writing is very technical. You know.
Because you have to test everything out, or.
Yeah. You have to test everything, and then a lot of the recipes were in, you know, for restaurant size. And so we had to work it down. Yeah, yeah. So it was quite a chore.
I hadn't thought about things like that. But then, you know, I kind of grew up with my mother just sort of cooking things. Well, you just put a bit of this and a bit of that, and it's done. And it's,
yeah.